gossip. The F1 Podcast.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to Greek Gossip. My name is Dell, along with Julie, and we are here back for, what is this, episode 4 now? But race 2, Saudi Arabia. It was a pretty good race. But before we get into all that, Julie, what is happening?
You know, it's 85 degrees here in Austin, and I am thriving.
Really?
Yep. It's shorts and tank top weather. And, you know, I think it's going to be in the 80s all week.
So. I'm jealous. I wish it was like in the 70s. I'd be happy with that. Although if it's in the 80s now and your wedding's in 6 weeks.
Yeah, but it gets cooler in the night, in the evening and stuff.
Okay. So okay.
We'll manage. It's not like 80 at night. The morning starts at 50 degrees. It goes up. So.
Still concerned about that super humidity.
I know you are, but there's no choice in the matter.
I know. Well, we had a pretty good race. We'll get into all that, but I was nervous this race wasn't going to happen for obvious reasons, yes. And we'll talk about that. But it did happen. It was a good one. One of the things that I'm really starting to come to grips with, which I guess it was pretty obvious last year, but this is a much less toxic, at least so far, year. It doesn't feel as like intense. It's nice to see these guys battling without all the extra drama from last year.
Yeah, certainly. But it's only the second race.
Yeah, it could change.
So it could change. There's nothing on the line at this point. So I'm not going to, I guess, count my chickens before they hatch.
Yeah, it's still very early, but it definitely has a different feeling for sure. How was your weekend? I saw you this weekend for your bridal shower.
I saw you for about 30 seconds. We went out to dinner on Saturday night, and I don't think we got back till like midnight.
Where'd you go?
Downtown somewhere on South Street in Philly.
Nice.
It was pretty good. And then came back yesterday. It's hard for me to not avoid at least looking because I couldn't watch the race live. The airplane did not have live TV. Thank you, American Airlines. But it's impossible for me to land and not just like look to see what happened. So I looked and saw what happened, just where everyone kind of landed on at the end of the race. And then I immediately went home. I unpacked real quickly and I sat on that couch and I watched it. And it was a very enjoyable couple hours.
You're not very good at just not looking at your phone. I feel like you just have to look.
I just have to. I don't like surprises. And like I could easily avoid Instagram, but like it doesn't have to do with like looking at my phone. It's like I just need to know what happened to feel safe and secure.
Yeah. Your sister's the same way. So. Not terribly surprising. So let's see. So I saw you for a quick second. It was funny because Brian was like super nervous. He wasn't super nervous, but he was like, what's in store? And I was like, honestly, I have no idea. Like no one said anything to me.
Anything either. I didn't ask a question.
Yeah. So, but we had fun on the course. It was a little chilly, but it was a good round. It was good to get out. So,
yes. The worst thing Brian had to do was the newlywed game, which for our listeners out there, one of the questions that was posed to Brian and I was, you know, who's one another's celebrity crush or hall pass? And Brian put Charles Leclerc. And
that's who I was thinking. So when he said that,
say,
I was like, oh, okay.
He was sweaty, so sweaty after that race. And he was still looking beautiful.
I was going to say, did that turn you on or was that a turn off or what?
He was still looking good. Didn't hate it. Nope. So.
Yes, he his hair was looking quite on point as usual after the race.
Yes.
So good for Charles.
Before we get into qualifying, I guess there was a oil.
It was a terror strike. That's what they called it. Okay. I mean, yeah, basically. Basically.
On an oil depot, 7 miles from the circuit. And so this happened, I guess it was on Friday.
It was on Friday.
Thursday or Friday?
This Friday, yeah.
And so all of the drivers met And I didn't realize this. I was informed by my coworker, Felix, this morning that this kind of meeting happened. But I guess all the drivers met for over 4 hours after practice on Friday, included team bosses, F1 chiefs, until 2:30 in the morning. I guess the drivers mostly felt that they like could not race or shouldn't race. They didn't feel, I guess, safe. I guess Lewis, Carlos, and Pierre were like the most vocal. But obviously in the end, all the drivers eventually agreed that the event would continue. Interesting to see who was vocal. Obviously Lewis was vocal.
Yeah, definitely.
But Carlos and Pierre, I don't know who I would have guessed to be like second most vocal, but
I was not surprised the event went on because
yeah,
you're talking about big, big money. Not just for F1, but Saudi Arabia wants that event happening, right? For obvious reasons. So I wasn't surprised, but it was still kind of like, oh my gosh, like, can you imagine, I don't know, any terrorist attack within 7 miles of anything you're doing? Like, it's not going to continue. It's not happening. You know what I mean? So it was interesting. Wasn't surprised by Lewis. I was thinking who was probably the least vocal, like, let's just race. I was thinking like Max for sure. You know what I mean? So yeah, who do you think the least vocal was besides Max? Who would be your second most vocal? I was thinking about that.
I think if Seb was not sick, he would be more vocal than Lewis.
Yeah.
But I wonder, at least he has 2 weeks now to recover, or get a negative test. But who would be the least or like wanting the race to continue?
I had one person in mind.
Hold on. Yuki? I don't know.
That's exactly what Yuki's like. I don't care. Let's just race.
Just like, whatever. Just because he's childish. Like, I don't think he's like not like a good human or anything like that. But like, he's just like a child. Like, he just like doesn't care.
He seems pretty carefree.
Just like a big baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking Yuki. But so race did happen and qualifying did happen. You want to take us through it?
I actually did not take notes on qualifying in this.
It's okay. There's really only one thing to talk about. There's two things to talk about in qualifying.
Okay.
There's three. We'll make it three. First and foremost, Mick had a massive crash. Like, nasty.
All the wheels, I think, but one came off.
They all came off. And then when they lifted the car on the crane, the car actually split in half. So it was like,
I didn't see that. What? My biggest kind of like takeaway was like we got no like zoom ins or like close ups of him getting out of the car. Mm-mm. I mean, not even like a zoom in of him still in the car before he was taken out or before the like it was all zoomed out.
Did you see the onboard? So I saw the onboard. Mm-mm. He, obviously loses control right before he hits the wall. They take their hands off the wheel for obvious reasons because that wheel will go crazy. And he just tucks in like this, and it's just like full contact. And then once the car kind of stops, he flips his visor, and that's all I saw. But it was good that he's okay.
I thought that was so interesting. Like, normally we get like so many replays and zoom in, but like they barely did any replays. Like, if you think back to who was it that was in the fire?
Grosjean.
Yeah, like we got so many replays of that, and like zoomed in camera angles. I wonder if that's like a new regulation or something that they're like.
It's also, Mick, you know what I mean? It's Mick Schumacher that hits a chord with a lot of, really anyone, but a lot of F1 fans. It's a good point. I don't know. As far as him not racing, I don't know if they said he had a concussion or not. He didn't break any bones.
They didn't say anything about him, which is like very, very Schumacher.
Well, Haas did come out and say that they weren't going to have him drive or start a sub. The reason that I read was they, he crashed there last year too, in free practice. And then he had another shunt. They both went pretty hard. And so I read that Haas was concerned that they wouldn't have enough equipment for Australia if they crashed another one, if he crashed again on Sunday. That's just not his track so far. He's two for two, and they've both been really big. So
good to see that he was safe. He was like, okay, though. And now he has 2 weeks to rest. Sure, he's bruised up.
Exactly. So that was your first big item in qualifying.
I actually think the first big item is the fact that Lewis Hamilton didn't make it out of Q3 for the first time since, like, I think they said 2017 or Q1.
Oh, yeah. These don't go in any particular order. I just want to start with a more sensitive one.
You know? I thought we were like going chronologically.
Yeah, no. I was going to say that the next item was definitely Lewis. Lewis P16. I don't even know. What do you say about that? I mean, for me, I was just like, okay, cool.
It's worrisome.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, Russell was what? P5, P6?
I mean, not a lot of coverage on George, though, this season so far.
No. I think for me, though, as much as I'm a Lewis fan, I'd love to see him get his eighth or ninth, depending on how you look at it. P16, all right, I'm totally comfortable that this is not Mercedes or Lewis's year, and now I can just move on and enjoy the rest of the season. Like, all that anxiety of, like, can he get it this year? Out the window, it's not happening. Like, it's just, I've never seen him qualify that low before since I've become a fan, so.
I said 2017.
Yeah, that's before
that was
my
last
fandom.
Time he had not made it out of P1, Q1.
Yeah, crazy. So I don't know what to say about that. They clearly tried something that didn't work with setup. So yeah, I don't really know where to go with that. You know, they've got a lot of work to do there.
What's your third thing about qualifying?
Oh, well, Sergio, first pole.
Oh, that was so heartwarming. Anything with Sergio is heartwarming because I feel like he's just like a good person. Yeah, his first pole ever.
I didn't know that. Yeah, so that was shocking.
Me neither.
I was really surprised when they said that.
Yeah, but once again, we have both him and Max up in the first two rows with Charles and Carlos.
Yep.
So it's Perez, Charles, Carlos, Max. Then going into the race, I mean, this was a super exciting race. I enjoyed it. There was like a lot going on off the starting line. It was pretty clean into turn one. I think the first thing that was noticeable or like noteworthy was this battle between Ocon and Alonso. Like, what were they doing out there?
Oh, they were racing.
But they were like racing against each other for no reason. And what the reason? I mean, to get in front of one another, but what the announcers were saying, like, they're going to do too much wear on these cars and tires. Like, what? Like, they need to just, like, let the faster one go. But, like, what were those radios like? We didn't get any of the radios between the team. You listened?
I did. So, I was watching the race. I was on Hamilton to mm-hmm. start. And then on the main play back, they weren't even showing the front. They were just showing these two pinks for what seemed like 3-4 laps.
At least.
So I changed to whichever driver was behind the other.
Okay.
And there really wasn't a lot of radio. There was no...
They were just kind of like...
They're letting them race.
Whatever they wanted.
Yeah. They were letting them race. There wasn't
that
like
would
he would have thought.
Never happen on Red Bull or Mercedes.
Nope. And Otmar said, it's like, hey, we're going to let him race early. And he did. That's what we want to see, though. I mean,
yeah, it was exciting, but it was awesome. Like, dang. Okay.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Okay, so that happened. They were kind of going back and forth for a while. There was one point where, like, Max was like, Leclerc's lights aren't working.
He was right.
And I thought that, yeah, but then they started working again because I saw it later on. One thing that we saw kind of throughout this race and that they mentioned was that, you know, last year when someone would kind of go off the track and then cut in front of somebody and then you'd have all this back and forth of like, well, this is particularly happened with Lewis and Max, like, oh, you have to give way. FIA says this. Like, race control is expecting this year that the teams work that out amongst each other, that they're not getting in the way or doing any of that. So that is super interesting, and I really want something to happen with Max and Lewis to, like, see if the two teams can, like, actually work that out. Because I feel like with Ferrari and Red Bull, like, they're friendly right now.
Yeah, no, it will be interesting. Hopefully a Max-Lewis confrontation actually means something for both of them.
Or it actually happens because Lewis is so far at the back.
Yeah, his car's not competitive to keep up. So, I mean, will that happen? I don't even know if that's going to happen. But
the announcer said at the beginning, they're like, if they see each other, one person's even either having a really bad race or the other one's having a really good race.
It is spot on, too. Lewis was having a pretty good race until they jumbled up the pit stop, which we'll talk about. So, yeah, I just don't know if Max and Lewis are going to have that confrontation because the cars aren't competitive to one another. So far. Yeah. But I mean, I don't think they're showing up in Australia with the Mercedes figured out. Like, the longer it takes, the further that point gap.
Yeah. They have 2 weeks this time. Another thing I noticed, the on-screen visuals, like on the TV. I don't know if you noticed last week, but all of the team kind of like emblems or like their logos were all white last week. And I actually saw some people on social media being like, I can't tell any of this stuff apart. And they changed it this week. So all the team emblems or logos were the color. So it was much easier to like tell the teams and just like more visually see that. I don't know if you noticed that.
Being colorblind, I did not, but you know, working on that user experience, you know, it's critical. It's critical. So,
but the first kind of round of pits between Perez and Leclerc, or Ferrari did like a fake out. They like got everyone out and was like pretending like, you know, Leclerc was going to come in because Perez was in front of him. And so Red Bull got all ready to go out and then Perez pitted and Leclerc stayed out, which some people were like, were they doing that to fake him out or was he always just going to do the opposite of what Perez did?
Yeah, my guess is they were going to do the opposite. You know, to take track position. If not, do the undercut. But the timing was so brutal. I mean, it's just really bad luck for Perez. I mean, he theoretically could have won that race, but he comes in for a set of new tires. And literally as he's in the pits, Latifi does what Latifi does best, which is on right-hand, fast right-hand turns. He puts it into the wall. And that brings out the
full safety. He crashed right after Perez pit and Leclerc was able to get out with him in the lead, Max following him and Sergio following Max. And then shit starts to hit the fan. So on lap 37, Alonso has a mechanical failure. And then seconds later, Ricardo has an engine problem. Bottas goes to pit and just retires. Ricardo blocks the pit lane when he was not able to finish. A chaos. All of a sudden, like, no one could finish the race. And I think we were down to, like, 14 drivers.
Yeah, it was weird, too, because it was all they were all losing power on the last turn, which was like...
Yep.
It's like that last turn at that circuit is like a death trap for accidents or just car failures. But, yeah, it was interesting because being a Hamilton fan, I was on his onboard most of the race. But, yeah, that played right into Hamilton's hands. Running the hards, and they told him to pit. I guess he didn't hear it, and he didn't come in pit, and that ruined his race. But yeah, it was a bummer to see Alonso go out because he was having a really good race.
He was slapping his head in frustration. He was like,
"Yeah, the Alpines were looking very competitive."
Yeah, I mean, after that battling early on, you gotta like, he must have been so pissed.
Yeah,
at lap 39, which was kind of like the end of the virtual safety car, Lewis had still not pitted. So he was the only one out there that had started on hards and then was still out there at that point. But he finally did, of course, but didn't really, that strategy did not work out for him. I mean, he went from 16th to 10th at the end. So he did
was up
at least get a point.
Yeah, I mean, if he would have pit right away, right when he had the chance. I don't know if he didn't hear the call or what happened. I think he probably could have came in like eighth, maybe even seventh, but he missed it. That was a bummer. But after that whole episode, then finally they put the emphasis back on Leclerc and Max at the front. And we got some really good racing. The regs are working.
Yeah, so you know, Charles had been leading the entire time. Max finally passes Charles on lap 42, but then Charles had DRS and took it back. And then there's this moment where they both lock up at the exact same time and they're kind of like neck and neck. And like you see Charles just kind of reacting sooner after the lockup and like flooring it. And he gets ahead and stays ahead for a little bit of time. We did get a little bit of Max rage because Max was like, oh, Charles crossed the pit lane line, which was a consistent theme throughout the race. Like, I feel like there were a lot of people complaining about people crossing the pit lane line, but like no one got in trouble for it. And then Max finally passes Charles to secure the win at lap 47. Which, I mean, just such a great race for Charles, and good for Max too. I mean,
Max had an episode there last year, you know what I mean? And so he definitely learned how to, you know, maintain those tires. It was funny watching them play the DRS line game though, towards the end. That was pretty interesting. And, you know, he deserved the win totally, but he did get an assist with a late yellow flag. I think it was Albon and Stroll, maybe. Mm-hmm. On lap 48, right as they were coming down the stretch. I think it would have been close into turn one. Let's say that.
Yeah.
Minimally close. Leclerc could have passed because he had DRS behind. But you know, that's how racing goes. So I think it was fair. And it's good to see them both get one win to start start the season. It really is starting to create a narrative that I think people can get excited about. So
yeah. And then the only other exciting thing that happened was Lando and Ocon were racing like until the very end. Like they were going up the last straight. So that was fun to see because I also at the same time, people normally give up at that point. So it's always fun to see it kind of like a bitter battle till the end.
And that happened with Ocon last year when Bottas passed him, same spot. Yep. So it's good to see him keep it.
So it was a good race. I mean, they were exhausted. Like I've never actually seen them like chug water after a race, but Charles was, I'm pretty sure he was chugging a sparkling water out of a glass bottle.
That's very Charles.
And he was like squatting down. He like looked really, they looked wiped, but it's good to see like a friendly battle, as we mentioned earlier.
For now, you know, we'll see if that turns. Gasly also had some sort of like stomach intestinal pain in the last five laps. He said it was the worst pain he ever felt. Russell said it was the most physically demanding race he's ever, you know, been a part of in Formula One. So, you know, clearly that location and that track, just the speed. I mean, that circuit is so dangerous. The focus, I mean, I can only imagine. So Magnussen complained that his neck muscles were too weak.
Well, they were saying they were saying like for him, it's probably particularly challenging because he was off for a year doing some other type of racing, you know, got thrown in it at the last hour, so wasn't like training in that way. And so he'll be having to get up. But I think the funniest thing that happened, and you wrote this down in the outline, was when Hamilton asked Bono if he received any points for 10th place.
Like, did they put that on the airplane?
Come on. I don't think it was on the airplane. Yeah, I must have read it somewhere. But like seriously, like you really said like, come on, he knows you get points for 10th place.
Yeah, he definitely does. It was funny because I was still watching his onboard after because I wanted to see if he was going to be like frustrated. Yeah. And he's like, you know, where'd we end up? Bonus P10. He's like, oh man, do we even get points for that? And I just started laughing. I'm like, there's no way you don't know you get points. But, you know, that's how good Lewis's life has been the last, you know, nearly decade. So
I know it is really wild to see, like, we don't even get any footage of him.
No, I mean, he's in P10. There wasn't much to... He had some good passing, but who I felt bad for was Russell, though. I mean, literally, you got zero footage of Russell the whole race. Like, not one turn, not one pass.
Well.
He did, but the gap... He was so far behind P4, whether it was Sergio or Sainz, and P6 was so far behind him. It was just like, what are we going to... Why are we going to show Russell?
I think regardless of how he performed this year, he was expecting to be like the media's star, like everyone talking about him and everyone doing this, but like no one cares about him. I think the car is not doing well, but he did do good this week. I mean,
he was consistent, you know, qualified P5 and then P5. But yeah, you got to feel for him. I also said I was, he just looks sad in every interview. Like, he looks classy and sad, but I think you just nailed it, right? Like, he was expecting to come to Mercedes, have a competitive or the best car. Mm-hmm. And not only is that not the case, but one of his peers that he came up with, Charles Leclerc, is now the fucking man and in a better car. It's got to be tough. It's got to be tough.
It is. And like, I feel like, because the reason I say like, I think he was expecting to be the shining star was like all of the social media he was doing.
What's going on with the off-grid gossip? Anything
honestly,
worth noting?
It's been so, no, nothing worth noting. They've been really focused on these races.
So we have a 2 week break, 1 week break.
Yes. 2 week. Well, 1 weekend off and then we're in Australia, which we haven't been to Australia in
forever.
2 years. I have not been an F1 fan with an Australia season. So I'm very excited. I hope that Daniel Ricciardo can just like get it together.
Score some points, something. Yeah.
Finish a race. Points.
Exactly. Until then, be safe and catch you later.